Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Spandana Spoorti Financial Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shalabh Saxena, Managing Director and CEO of Spandana Spoorti Financial Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Saxena.
Thank you very much. Good evening to all of you. Thank you for taking time out to join the conference call of Spandana Spoorti Financial Limited. Thank you for showing interest in our company. Friends, it's now slightly more than 3 months that I've joined Spandana Spoorti. Suffice to add that the initial period has been very exciting and absorbing. The support that has been received from the team members, shareholders, and all the stakeholders has been very, very encouraging. I am happy to announce that the transition to the new management is now complete, which includes all the past issues that existed. We hence have our path clear in terms of way forward, with an assured support from all promoters and the board. The Q4 results have been uploaded. However, I would want to briefly take you through the same. Our quarter four disbursements were 1,385 crores. I'll repeat, 1,385 crores. The full year disbursements were 3,374 crores. With this, our total AUM end of the year was 6,581 crores. Of the above, FY22 disbursements contribute about 44% of the book. The book is very, very healthy, and it has given a collection efficiency of 107% for the quarter four. The restructured book, which is about 995 crores, 15% of the total book, that also has delivered a collection efficiency of 64% for the quarter. While all of you are aware that we are discussing and we are detailing the results for quarter four, however, wherever possible and wherever appropriate, I'll give some color on the Q1 numbers as well. On the restructured book, our trend or the positive trend continues. It is in line with the Q4 collection efficiency. Q1 restructured book collection efficiency is at 63%. The non-restructured book has delivered a 100.3% in quarter four with a positive trend in June quarter. The collection efficiency is 103% for the June quarter. Now I'll give you some details on the balance sheet. The balance sheet continues to be very strong. I'll highlight certain ratios and information so that you'll be able to appreciate this better. In quarter four, an equity infusion of 290 crores was done, with an additional 10 crores coming in early part of Q1. Thus, we've had 300 crores of infusion between Q4 end and Q1 beginning. Our net worth currently stands, or rather our net worth at the end of March was 3,088 crores, 3,088 crores. The CRAR is at a very healthy 51.09%. The debt equity ratio of the gearing was at 1.2. The provision coverage, which is once again one of the critical factors, is at 10.6% of the total portfolio. The normalized ROA and ROE figures are 6.9% and 16.6%. I must add here that this does not include the COVID impact and the one-time settlement expenses. The gross NPA for the quarter was 15% and net NPA was 6%. On liquidity, our company, the position of our company is very strong, was very strong end of March and continues to be very strong. At any point in time, as a thumb rule, we hold minimum of 2 months of repayment, which works out to about 500 crores. However, end of March 22, the company maintained a liquidity of 728 crores cash and cash equivalents of 475 crores of bank deposits. The macros for the industry, I would want to now touch upon where the industry is going and how is Spandana in the right position to capitalize on the opportunity that presents itself. Spandana, as on date, is upwards of 81% in rural distribution. As a company, our distribution is heavily skewed to the hinterland, to the rural India. As all of us are aware, rural India has a high entry barrier, and hence we do believe that we are in a very good position from a pure distribution point of view. We strongly believe that rural India will lead the economic growth for the country, since a lot of money is moving to the hinterland. With the economy thriving, the microfinance industry is slated to grow on an estimated basis anywhere between 16 to 18% for the next 6 to 8 years. And with this in the background, we do feel, and there is a right reason for the optimism, that we are in the best position to, one of the best positions to capitalize on the opportunity. All of you are aware, Reserve Bank of India had come out with a revised guideline for MFIs, which are a huge positive for the industry. The enablers on pricing, customer indebtedness, qualifying asset criteria are welcome. It, however, puts a lot of responsibility on financiers to act prudently. We intend to follow both in letter and spirit the regulation, and we do believe that this is one of the good things that has happened for the industry. At Spandana, we are very positive on what the future holds for us and are readying ourselves for what lays ahead. With successful transition of management, a reasonably good quarter four on key business parameters, and various efforts undertaken to strengthen the fundamentals of business, we feel confident of charting a quality growth path for Spandana in the coming years. As a team, we have articulated a vision 2025 for Spandana, where we are planning to scale up our business to an AUM of 15,000 crore levels, which is upwards of 2x from the present, in the next 3 years. Our immediate 5 priorities, which we have articulated, and the entire company, the management team, the folks here in the head office and in the field are working towards. There are 5 priorities which we are working on. The first is people related. We are moving towards reinforcing the middle and senior management team. We do feel that a strong team with a good bench strength will augur well for the company, both in the present and in the future. Point number 2, strengthen governance, risk and control with added focus on refining processes. Microfinance industry is a 2-decade-old industry. A lot of alignment needs to be done to the processes, the way they existed earlier and the way they exist now. It's very important to have processes which are forward-looking, aligned to technology, and that's where it's very important, the second point of refining processes, apart from the most important thing, which is strengthening the governance, risk and control measures. Point number 3, we as a company are very clear, our growth path will be customer, new customer acquisition led. While we will continue and make all efforts to retain the existing customers, our focus will be on new customer acquisition. At any given point in time, we are very clear our ticket sizes will at best be muted, if not lower than the industry. However, we will always press the accelerator when it comes to acquiring new customers. And that's the way forward for us as a team. Point number four, technology. Very, very critical for the distribution that we handle. At this point in time, we are spread across 1,100 branches. We cover almost upwards of 80,000 villages and a field force of about 6,500. Without technology, this cannot be. And hence, over the past 3 months and going forward, we have our charter ready for the next 4 quarters. We are going to scale up to deliver an end-to-end paperless customer experience. The last but not the least, point number five, customer-led initiatives with emphasis on products, service, and meeting their life cycle needs. We want to be the financier of choice when it comes to rural India, and that's where we intend to strengthen our dominance. We will continue to grow in those areas and will continue to strengthen our market share there. So while these are the five priorities, obviously the list is much longer, but these are the core areas that we as a team are working. So friends, with a clear focus on rural India, we are confident of increasing our market share by riding on the significant anticipated growth in these markets. The entire organization is taking incremental steps each day to converge on achieving the articulated objectives defined in the Vision 2025 for the company. With this, I would want to end my commentary. I am joined by the management team here, Mr. Ashish Damani, President and CFO, the CBO, Company Secretary, CTO, the other senior members of the team are with me. We are happy to take any questions that you would have. Over to you, Peter.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Akash Bhausar from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, this is Shripal. So just a few questions with respect to our focus for the next 3 to 6 months. So just wanted to understand, are we going to change the Spandana model, which was say more focused on having a monthly collection meeting, which was trying to focus on having a lower OPEX? So what changes have we brought in this model? That you are planning to have?
So, Akash, we don't want to take any knee-jerk reaction. There is nothing which is going to happen overnight. Having said which, over the years, Spandana has delivered quality growth, and hence we do not want to do anything which is completely new. Having said which, there are refinements, as I said, and hence in my commentary I use the word refinements. I did not use the word change. We will do refinements, be it about a process or whether it is related to a product. For now, there is a team which is set and used to a particular thing. These changes require a lot of research, a lot of customer insight, etc. If at all we walk that path, it will be a calibrated move, not immediate, number one. Number two, in the next one, even if we were to take it, we will not disturb the existing model. We will start in probably a geography which is untouched by Spandana, and there is a lot. So we will consolidate on what we already have, which is good. If at all we think there is a merit in trying out something new, it will be a different geography. We don't want to mix up, and it will be a calibrated approach. There are enough opportunities in various pockets that you mentioned, both in terms of the geography and in terms of be it a product or even a repayment cycle, as you mentioned. But then it will be a very, very calibrated approach.
Okay. So we, as you highlighted in your opening remarks, that we are targeting FY24 AUM of almost 15,000 crore. That is on book rather. So the presentation says it's going to be 18,000 crore. So, and we've also highlighted some of the newer geographies. There are seven new states that we've identified. So what are the aspects of identifying these seven states?
Right. So once again, thank you for the question. It's a very, very good question. So I think what you've asked is why these seven states have been targeted. That's your question, right, Akash?
Right.
Right. So, okay. So if I were to take a step back and I were to analyze the contribution of these seven states to the industry as a whole, a microfinance is a 270,000, 280,000 crore industry. These seven states contribute upwards of 40 to 43% to the industry. When it comes to Spandana, it is a much, 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 much lower number. So that's an obvious one for us, that we will reach out, we will open branches in these areas so that, you know, we get a incremental growth from the states where we already are. That's point number one. Point number two is, we have plans to grow in the states we are present already, but that will be an organic growth, which is a regular growth. We do not want to step the accelerator to an extent where we really go more than what is desired. The states that we've identified, we do see, and pockets for our appetite, there is enough and more meat in these seven states. We will, given a chance to branch out, we do feel that the incremental disbursement that we are seeking to get will come out of these seven states. This also is in line with the earlier philosophy that I articulated, that we will acquire more customers. We will not increase the ticket size beyond what we think in our mind is the right number. At any given point in time, we will be lower than the industry. I understand there are pitfalls to this particular approach, but then we are fine with it. And hence, if I were to holistically take a view on where does Spandana grow in the next 3 years, FY25 vision is 15,000 crores from the current 6,600 crores. I think we will be able to balance our growth in both the new geographies and the old geographies. The focus will obviously be getting distribution out of new branches that we open predominantly in these states identified, and obviously in few areas where we are already are present. I hope I have answered your question.
Yes, sir. Yeah. But still, like, okay, so do you feel that these states are, while they contribute significantly to the, as you highlighted, so, but then there are just a few states which contribute maybe higher, such as Bihar or for that matter UP now, which is ramping up. But if you look at states like MP or Gujarat, which is also part of your strategy, so there are other issues which are also there. So what have we sort of listed down some of the aspects that you probably looked at apart from the state's contribution to the overall landscape?
So Akashi, the states that we've identified are Gujarat, Rajasthan, Haryana, Uttar Pradesh, Bihar, West Bengal. We are looking from the current state, even if we were to get a market share of about 2.5-3%, we will get to an AUM of incremental AUM of about 6,000-6,500. Number one. Number two, I know what you are saying, that these states have presence of other microfinance companies also. However, microfinance as an industry is highly underpenetrated when it comes to the national scene. So there are various research studies which are available where it's very evident that the penetration levels are just about 50-55% to the addressable population. So reaching out into new geographies is one of the obvious strategies or approach that anybody would have. We are very confident and we are not pursuing growth only, we are pursuing quality growth. Pursuing quality growth in these seven states for the 6,000 to 7,000 incremental AUM that we are talking about is, I'm not saying easy, but I'm saying, you know, we will be able to sort of pick and choose and get to the quality growth that we are desiring to. So there is, as I told you, you know, we are in these seven states a single digit contribution. The industry is at, a 43-44% overall contribution. I do feel we are reasonably confident that, you know, we should be able to get what we want in these states without compromising on any of the quality parameters.
Got it. So just some data keeping questions. So what is the, I mean, we've highlighted that the GNPA is 15%. Wanted to understand, wanted to get some sense on what is stage 1, stage 2, stage 3 percentage. What is the coverage that we are having right now? And what is the ECL requirement for the same, like for stage 1, 2 and 3? And so, yeah, if you could give this detail.
Yeah, sure. I'll request Ashish Damani, President and CFO, to kind of, take this question.
Thanks, Shalab. Just give me a second. I will turn off the numbers for you. So in terms of percentages, and I'm looking at the portfolio which is on our book, we have 77% of the portfolio, 69.5% of the portfolio, in the current bucket itself. So that will form part of stage 1. If I have to include, even 1 to 30, then we are talking about 75% of the portfolio is in stage 1. Stage 2 would be, 426 crores, which is 6.5%. And we have 18.8% of the portfolio, which is in stage 3 of this. Like we have mentioned, we have provided significant amount of portfolio. What will be NPA, net NPA would be 6% of the portfolio, which is still sitting as a net NPA. Rest of all the portfolio, we have coverage for that.
So, sir, you said the stage 3 is 18.8%.
So this includes off balance sheet. If I have to really look at only on balance sheet, then we are talking about 15.9%, 16% roughly.
Okay. So the basically just like looking at the numbers, by calculating it, so basically we have close to 1,050 crore of stage 3, of which 520 crore would have slipped from the restructured pool. And the remaining 25-30 crore would be from the other standard asset slippage that would have been there.
Yeah, restructured would be 512, and the rest will be from the 368. Roughly 368 crores will be from non-restructured book.
Right. So the number is right. 1,050 crore is the total stage 3 basically.
No, it would be 912 crores.
Okay.
912 crores.
Got it. And so what is the stage-wise provisioning that we have?
So we will have, this is driven by the ECL. So we will have a 50% coverage for stage 3. Standard assets we carry, you know, 0.25.
Okay, so overall stage 1 to coverage is 0.25%.
No, on roughly about 28% on book which is between in stage 2.
Okay, got it. And sir, like I think in the presentation also it is mentioned that close to 15% of the portfolio is NPA. That only constitutes the non-DA and non-securitization. So how has our DA and securitization portfolio behaved with respect to the delinquency?
No, so DA numbers, I will have to come back to you, but largely, you know, the pool more or less behaves in line. There is no specific, separation that field is given in terms of, you know, whether DA or non-DA as a pool. They don't really differentiate between the pool that has been hived off from the books. So I don't see any reason, you know, there will be a different experience for a DA pool per se.
Got it. Okay, sir, I have a few more questions, but I'll come in the queue. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for answering my question.
Thanks, Akash.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Venish Goa from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, and congrats, hello. Two, three questions from my side. So first, it's sort of a clarification, on the FY23 outlook, which you have shared in PPT. So in that PPT, we are saying our branches will remain flat, you know, at 1120, 1123 kind of a number. But in your opening remarks, you did mention about, you know, incremental growth ideally should come from the new customer acquisition. So it is fair to assume that the existing branch network has, lot of room for improvement, and hence we are sort of having this flattish kind of a branch network in FY23.
Yes, so I'll answer this in two parts. The number of branches we are projecting an increase from 1120 to 1500. So that's about 380 more branches. That's part one. Part number, the second element to the answer is the question or the point on customer acquisition. Our estimate is that we will scale up our customer strength or customer number from the current 2.3 million to 4 million. And yes, what you said is right. There is a significant opportunity for improving the productivity at the branch and at the loan officer level, which we intend to leverage on two counts. The first is the technology commentary that I gave, and the second one, and I'm just sort of informing everyone, you are aware in the month of towards the later part of last year, Reserve Bank of India allowed the eKYC through the KUA route for NBFC, MFIs and NBFCs. We have applied for a license, and I think another 2 months we should be getting that license. What this does or what this helps us is from the current physical sourcing, which is clicking pictures of KYC documents, sending it to the back office, which then does a data entry, so on and so forth. At the press of a thumbprint, we will be able to give a decision to the customer post a CB check. We will be able to conclude and complete the eKYC of the customer there and then on the spot. So the current process of a loan, which takes about 3 to 5 days, as and we are not new, you know, all the companies which do not have this facility have to go through this. It comes down from 3 to 5 days currently to maybe 60 seconds or 90 seconds. That to our mind is a big transformation when it comes to focusing on the efficiency matrix. And yes, at a process level also, we have identified a few processes which, if refined, will add a lot of delta to the already existing delta to the our efficiency story. So customer acquisition led, Yes, branch network will be increased, but yes, predominantly focus will be on improving efficiencies.
Got it. And so the second question again is sort of related to this. So where do we stand, you know, as on June in terms of implementing the revised MFI process as per the new guidelines?
We have already moved to the new process, and you know, as we every loan that we are disbursing in this month, starting this month from the first, is on the new under the new regime.
Okay, so entire 1,000 plus branch network are now on the new process.
Yes, all new customers acquired will have to go through the new guidelines.
Got it. And so just the last question from my side, again, sort of a clarification. So when we are projecting a 2% kind of a credit cost for FY23, okay, and when we look at the gross NPA pool of 15%, PAR 0 to 90, again at 6.5%, you know, what is the, let's say, rationale behind having such a low credit cost in FY23?
So two answers to your question. You know, the first is all of us are aware, without getting into the details, the field was limited in terms of detailed customer data in quarter four.
Mm-hmm.
This data post the settlement, we now have access to all the data. We had access to data earlier also. We had constructed the data, but you know, obviously there were some limitations, not really 100%, which now all of that is behind us.
Right.
This is about the historical data. Another data point is, and all of us are aware, that a microfinance customer needs a slightly longer runway to regularize.
Right.
We as an institution did not give any, when I say did not give any moratorium, means we did not give any payment holiday to the customer. So the moratorium, when it was proclaimed on the 30th of September, starting the 1st of October, the repayment, I mean, there was no holiday which was given to the customer. Number two.
Right.
So if you join the dots, all I can say is we are doing a catch-up. The 64-65% restructured book, you know, delivering a collection efficiency of 64-65% is a testimony to the fact, you know, the point that I made, that if given a longer runway, you know, the customers come back and they start repaying, which is what we are already evidencing. This quarter and the next quarter will be regularizing these customers, and hence our optimism that all the numbers that you reeled out in terms of 2% loss for FY23, in the background of the greater than 90 NPA, etc., no, I think we'll be able to substantially bring down the numbers over the next 2-3 quarters.
Got it. So basically,
I'm so sorry. Most of these customers we've done, you know, we've done a detailed drill of these customers. About 30-35% customers are customers who have less than 3 cycle customers. Rest 60-65% are 4 and above cycle customers, which means they have taken more loans, 4 or more loans from us. So all the more reason for us to believe that it is the environment which has kind of dragged them down to a scenario that exists today, with a slightly inadequate follow-up, is why we are where we are. But we do hope, and we are pretty confident that, you know, we'll be able to regularize this book in the next 2 quarters.
So is it fair to assume that, you know, let's say in Q1 or maybe in May and June, the collection efficiency in gross NPA portfolio is better, let's say upwards of 50%?
Yeah, so quarter one...
That's what our coverage basically implied.
Yeah, so if I take the restructured book, which is where most of the people used to fear, and nothing to do with Spandana, but generally the industry and microfinance, Q4 we delivered on the restructured book a 64% collection efficiency. Q1 is 63%, just a shade lower, but round about in that range. We are, Ashish gave you the details, we are adequately provisioned on this particular book, but on an overall basis, I think, you know, we are in a reasonably comfortable position when it comes to the restructured book. The non-restructured book is delivering upwards of 100%. The last year sourcing, which is FY22 of about 2,800 crores of source, you know, the rundown book that we have as on March has delivered us 107%. So the non-restructured book is behaving fine. The restructured book, the trends are pretty strong. Overall, if I connect the story, you know, I think, you know, it looks to be a decent picture.
Got it, sir. This is very, very helpful, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And all the best.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Parag Jariwala from White Oak India. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I have two questions. One is with regard to settlement with, earlier MD-CEO. Can you quantify the amount which we have paid for the settlement? That is one. Secondly, Shalabh, you outline a really great path going forward, right? If some of the metrics, if I look at it, are kind of best in class in the industry so far, like, you know, probably achieving an ROA of closer to 5% in FY25 with, you know, 20-24% ROE. Customer base, which you are talking about, is approximately around 40 lakhs. I think Credit Express is 40 lakhs at current juncture, right? So it is, almost best in class metrics. I know you are confident, but, it's a challenging task. So, there may be certain processes which you are changing, or you have, probably overhauled maybe some of the operational aspect. So what are the challenges involved in, achieving, these numbers? Of course, you have 3 years, but still.
So, Parag, we are talking of a FY25 scenario, point number one. Point number two is there are a list of issues that we picked up in terms of process refinements, which if done, and we are very positive that we will see an incremental jump on the current productivity levels of the loan officer who's out on the ground. That's number two. Number three is, and that's very important, which I'm just at the cost of repetition, the fact that we are moving to a thumb-based EKYC stroke validation stroke KUA model. That, I think, is a game changer for us as a company, because that is kind of going to free or make the green time available for the loan officer considerably. A 3-day to 5-day process, if it compresses into a 90-second to 180-second, you can imagine the kind of green time that will be available for the loan officer to do other things. And here, when we say other things, it is essentially focusing on the new customer acquisition, the new wave of customer growth. To your point in terms of how easy or how difficult it is, I know you did not say that, but I am kind of saying it aloud. Microfinance, to my mind, Parag, is how well you do is a factor of what is the team that you have, how good your people are, and how cautious you are in terms of aggression. There is no scope in this business, and I say this with utmost responsibility, there is no scope or limited scope of being a cowboy in this industry. You have to be extremely cautious. You have to walk the line which is under the so-called indebtedness level. At every given point in time, you have to ensure that the training that you give to your loan officer, who ultimately delivers the proposition to the customer, is very well refined so as to not tread the path which is not desired. If a customer, there is a lot of education and an awareness level that needs to be undertaken from a customer point of view in terms of how much borrowing needs to be done. Even though at a customer level there is a headroom available for a higher indebtedness, the responsibility of the loan officer is to ensure that, he keeps it tapered down to a level which is more manageable. That is something which is defines or differentiates a responsible financier to the other category of financiers. We are pretty confident that the training, team, the training structure, the controls, the process, the risk mitigation, all of these things put together, we will be able to deliver in, and it is not just a top line delivery, Parag. I am very sure that we are not talking of a top line delivery only. We are talking of an overall delivery which borders on quality as well. So we've done this before. We are very sure that, you know, we'll kind of walk this path. On your, I'll take this, any more questions you have. In the meantime, I'll request Ashish to answer on the settlement question that you asked.
So, we had various items, but specifically with respect to the payment to the erstwhile MD, we have detailed it out. It's it was 40 crores that was paid as a part of the settlement.
Okay. And there is nothing else which you know, kind of foregone in terms of you know, intercorporate deposit or something like that, right?
So with this payments and whatever receipts that the company had to get, we everything is settled. There is no further open items between the erstwhile MD or the company, or for that matter the IT vendor that we had, or for that matter, you know, the Kirtana or other parties involved.
So Parag, here is my thing.
You have 61 seconds.
The roads are clear. They are forward looking. No bumps at this point in time which are related to the internal issues. All of those issues have been settled. The there was a press item which was a public press item, and that kind of ends the earlier issues that we had. Literally speaking,
you have 30 seconds
passed, but as far as this issue is concerned, there isn't a rear view mirror now. You know, we have only a way forward to look at. With our entire management collectively will converge now on delivering the clear objectives that we've set out to achieve, which I have articulated, which will focus on each of this. So this issue is now of the past, and we are now all geared up for the future.
Sure. Thank you. I think that is great. All the best, Salab and team, for the future.
Sorry, apologies, some technical this thing, our line got disconnected. So Parag, did we answer your question, or is there a follow-up?
No, I think I'm good. Thank you for the answers.
Thanks, Parag.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Disha Jugad from JM Financial Private Equity. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Just wanted to check how is the the lender sentiment. Are banks disbursing monies to Spandana this quarter? What's the sanction pipeline, etc.? How are the credit rating agencies thinking?
Yeah. Thanks, Disha. So basically, you know, the way it works is, typically, you know, the first quarter is always slow from the lender side, since they are also, you know, trying to close their books and trying to look into, you know, putting out fresh budgets for disbursements and all. So it's always slow. Having said that, in our case, it was you know, the lenders were waiting for kind of having clarity, one, on the settlement, two, on getting the audited financials for their review, and to start you know, giving out the sanction letters. Having said that, we had drawn some funds. 140 crores was raised during the quarter from two of the lending partners, and we have a lot of pipeline setting, which is primarily waiting for you know, the audited financials. With today's disclosures, I think we should start seeing a normalized second quarter in terms of, you know, the supply side.
On your question, Disha, of the rating agencies. We continue to engage with them. There was a background, which everyone is aware about, which with the every single passing day, I think it is moving upwards, and I think another max one quarter, we should be good.
Okay, so you've raised 140 crores in the last Jan to March quarter.
That was Q1. In Jan to March, we have raised 420 crores.
420 crores, and now it's only 140 crores, April to
June. Yeah.
Our disbursements were in quarter one were almost equivalent to what we disbursed in quarter four. There's also a context, and sorry, I'm being slightly elaborative on the question, Disha. Our priority, disbursement is a priority of every single company. I mean, no, I'm not taking away anything from there. But we are right now, from our point of view, getting people in place, strengthening the governance, controls, the risk mitigation, making the processes robust. All of this is in continuum to the, the business growth that we are pursuing. That's number one. Number two is quarter, this will continue for this quarter as well. I'm just kind of, giving you some color on how the year will pan out. Q3 and Q4 is when we will be reasonably confident of, the fundamentals in place for us to really launch ourselves to get a decent FY23 number. So this is, it will be a back-ended growth, but it will be a growth which will be backed or which will rest on strong fundamentals and robust infrastructure, both from a, be it from a tech perspective or be it from a risk mitigation or control perspective.
Sure, thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital Private Limited. Please go ahead. Mr. Gupta, you can proceed with your question. Your line has been unmuted.
Yeah, sir, I had two questions. First of all, on the customer part, I think from a peak of like 26 lakh, we are down to around 20 odd lakhs. So this 6 lakh people who have migrated away from the company, are they sort of, they were marginal, so they are no longer loan worthy, or is there any other reason, and how are we planning to sort of bring them back into the system? And since your focus is more on new geographies, are they included as part of your focus going forward? So that is number one. And secondly, for the new management team, have you guys all sort of relocated to Hyderabad, or where is the team sitting? And if you can throw some more color into, how you guys have organized your lives around the new sort of shift which has happened in the top management.
Yeah, so Hyderabad is a very good place, Sarvesh, and I invite anyone and everyone to please come and stay here for 3-4 days. It's raining 9 months in a year. The temperatures are under 30, so it's a great place. And yes, this is to confirm that all of the people, who are a part of the senior management and even otherwise in HR, etc., everybody is based out of Hyderabad, which includes me, Ashish, and the other team members. That's number one. Number two is you asked a question on customer attrition. Customer attrition, Sarvesh, is a part and parcel of the microfinance industry. There is something called a fatigue factor when it comes to even good customers. I'm not even getting into the not so good customers, which happens, and hence a 20 to 25% customer attrition is not really unheard of. There are companies which kind of toggle between a 15 to 25%. And hence, the only way you have to manage this is to keep on getting new customers. There is also, which partly you answered, there is also a scenario where you want to attract a few customers because of the behavior that they would have shown on your book over the past few years. So it's a combination of all things. The last 1 year we've had a temporary, I'm not saying pause, but it was a roller coaster for us, and hence we could not step up our journey in terms of the new customer acquisition. which, as I have clearly articulated, the organization is now converging to ensure that all resources are directed towards getting these new customer acquisition, from the current numbers to a 4 million number in the next 3 years. As I say, the new member acquisition is like a petrol in a car. You have to keep on constantly filling it while the car is on the move. Else at some stage you will have to stop, which might not be the best in the best interest of the organization. So, conceptually and from a strategy perspective, we are very clear. That's the way to grow. Peg yourself below the industry on ticket sizes, get more and more customers.
Understood. And this vision of FY25, where you have targeted around 15,000 odd crores, so that is microfinance.
Sure.
And what Absolutely. Would be the similar number on the secured book, which is also mentioned in one of the slides?
So that is an additional 2,000 to 3,000 crores. That's the second last slide, if I'm not mistaken. That is over and above the current number. So Sarvesh, I when you go and meet these customers, this is an aspiring India. This is an India which wants to grow, and they want to taste how a growth story looks like. What is it to be in an environment where they don't really have to worry too much on their square meals a day? So when you go and speak to them, there is a approach that we have charted, which is how do you graduate a customer from a microfinance to and upwards. So this is stream one, which is the microfinance. And if you see slide number 34 of our presentation, there is an individual loan to existing borrowers, which is a graduated customer from a JLG to an individual level. So this is one stream. Another stream is a slightly upscale customer from the microfinance customer, which is the nano enterprise loans that we are talking about. We already have a home loan portfolio of about 98 crores as we speak. We are very, very optimistic on this number, on this business line. We do hope that, in the tier 3, tier 4 and tier 5 that we are talking about, we see a tremendous opportunity for us as an enterprise to kind of capture this this particular space. The two-wheeler, which is a mobility solution for a customer, that applies both for a microfinance and a non-microfinance customer. So all of this, our attempt is over and above the 15,000 crores, about 2,000 to 3,000 come out of will come out of the various lines articulated. Of the total book, our attempt will be to get anywhere upwards of 2%, north of 10% on the secured line. We will evolve as we grow, but there is apart from the microfinance, there is a housing loan already book, housing book already of about 98 crores that we feel, and right now this is concentrated in Andhra and Telangana, two states, so obviously the entire country is open for us. I must add, however, that at any given point in time, we will always be focused on tier 3, tier 4, tier 5, which is the rural India, and that's where we see ourselves expanding in the next 3 years.
Understood. On the credit cost side, you alluded that growth might be back-ended, but this credit cost, do you envisage a scenario that Q1 onwards itself, it should align itself to a 2% sort of a number, or this is because of the write-backs and other things that you are assuming in the later half? So do you see a step down significantly from this Q1 onwards, or do you see this also being a back-ended sort of a number?
Yeah, that's right. It will be back-ended. 2% is what we expect it to be on a closing basis. So we may have a situation where there will be some costs that may kick in the earlier part of the year, but then there will be recoveries, and eventually we lead to something like 2% on the overall basis.
Understood. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Shalabh Saxena for closing comments.
So thank you very much, all of you, for joining and listening to us. As a company, are pretty optimistic about what the future holds for us as a company and what the business holds for us in terms of the potential and how we as a company are in the right position to tap that potential. People is one of the focus areas that we are going to drive at, and our constant endeavor will be to get the right people in the right place so that this organization, which is Spandana, kind of people become, the organization becomes agnostic to who is running what show. It is more creating the bench strength so that as an organization, we as a company are pretty much ready to handle any kind of a situation. Thank you for the support. In case there are any more questions, we are happy to kind of take them on directly. You can reach out to us. We are pretty accessible. One of the things that we can definitely guarantee is candidness and transparency in terms of giving out the true picture of the company and the situation that we are in. Thank you for your support, and look forward to listening and speaking to you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Spandana Spurti Financial Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.